We kick off hour number three, Friday edition of the program. This segment brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. And as always, you can download the free three-day VIP pass at goldsgym.com. Just go to the upper right-hand corner and work out for free. Give them a shot, your local Gold's Gym. There's six around the Knoxville area, and they're all across the country and the world. And no matter which one you're at, just go up to them and tell them, I heard about you guys on 3 and Out and Fox Sports Knoxville. We'd appreciate that. And, Davey, what else can they try out right now with Gold's Gym?
You can always go and have a free tour. You just walk up to the front desk and be like, hey, I've heard about you guys. I'd love to check it out. You can also get a 30-day fitness plan. There's no sign-up involved in that process. You just want to talk over your goals with some of their trainers who have gone through several certification programs to get where they are today. And that's kind of the difference between Gold's Gym and a lot of the other gyms in the area. They make sure that their trainers are actually trained and are able to help you reach your goals. And, I mean, they'll help you find your starting point and walk through with you every step of the way. And right now they got the Gold's Gym AMP app promotion. It's like your digital personal trainer, whether you're looking through coaching. I know personally, I always like to have some sort of music or some listening to something else to kind of help power me through the workout. And that's what the Gold's Gym AMP app is helping you do. And you can try it out now for seven-day free trial by using the promo code July1.
There you go. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Houston, had this up. The Sweet Peas Barbecue poll question. How did you ultimately word that one as we think about Jeremy Pruitt and his start here? I've got it. In order to be considered successful, how soon would you expect Jeremy Pruitt to be in the hunt for an SEC East title and a trip to Atlanta? That is the question. It's the Sweet Peas Barbecue poll question of the day. In order to be considered successful, how soon would you expect Jeremy Pruitt to be in the hunt for an SEC East title and a trip to Atlanta? Your options, year one, year two, year three, year four. Right now, it's pretty split between two and three. 31% of people saying year two, 60% of people saying year three. People still voted for year one, even though you said don't pick that one. It's amazing. You got to be the contrarian. So we start asking ourselves the question in the break. At what point do you know or do you not know about your head coach, whether they're going to be, I don't even know what type of tiers you want to put on this, but as we've gone through great coaches in college football, the best right now and in some even into the past, it seems like when they get to a destination job, you can tell that they're going to be an elite coach by the end of year two. So the question is, especially since the schedule for Tennessee is not as brutal in 2019, next year, will we know by the end of year two? A lot of people are only saying, you know, only 36% of people are saying year one or year two. 60% of people still giving Pruitt more of the doubt into year three. So I guess that goes to the question, like, should you be able to tell by the end of year two? And if not, is it because your coach isn't elite? Or maybe a harsher reality for Tennessee would be, maybe you have a really good coach, but maybe is Tennessee not the top-end destination job that a lot of these other schools have been that are playing for championships? Because Davey did the research. Every single national championship coach how long did we go back, Davey? How many years back?
I went at least 10, and in some instances went back even further.
So in the last 10 years, if you've won a national title, you won how many games in year two or earlier?
At least nine.
At least nine games. Year two.
Regular season or combined?
I believe
probably combined, I would say, right?
I think it's just regular season because they list the combined for which bowl they want, if they want it or not, over to the right based off of sportsreference.com, which usually does a really good job of compiling out all this information.
I'm pretty sure for this argument, it is regular season. Nine games. That's your number.
How many of these guys were like flash in the pan, one hit wonder type coaches? Any of them? All pretty sustained, decent?
You have four coaches right now that have won a national championship that are still coaching. That is Nick Saban, who's won six of the last nine. You have Urban Meyer, who's won three in the last 11 years, and Jimbo Fisher and Dabo Sweeney. So Nick Saban, his second year at Alabama, they went 12-2. First year, they went 7-6, 6-6 in the regular season. Jimbo Fisher at Florida State, his first year, whenever he took over for Bobby Bowden, they went 10-4 that season, and his second year, he went 9-4, so a slight dip. Dabo Sweeney, his second year at Clemson, his first year at Clemson, 4-3. I don't know why it's
he was the interim.
Listed. Okay,
it was an interim.
A
real interim.
Yeah, 2009. They went 9-5 on that season, so 8-4 in the regular season.
So Dabo would be kind of the exception because he got eight. He also, I think, won his division in the ACC that year, right? I think he won his division of the ACC in year two. Well, I guess that's technically his first year, if you don't want to count the interim when he kind of took over. So what did Dabo do in technically his year three at Clemson,
That's where it gets tricky. He went 6-7 in year three.
Interesting.
He dropped down, but ever since then, he's had at least 10 wins.
Well, okay. Remember when Dabo Sweeney was the justification of why Butch Jones was going to win a national championship at Tennessee?
It's a really good point.
I do.
Really good point.
Forgive me if I throw out Dabo Sweeney's, weird year where they wanted to fire him.
Urban Meyer, first year at Florida, 9-3, second year, 13-1, won the national championship. His first year at Ohio State, 12-0.
And a lot of you are thinking, well, yeah, that's Ohio State. That's like, yeah. Don't you want Tennessee to be like Ohio State? Don't you want Tennessee to be like Oklahoma? You want Tennessee to be like Oregon?
Ohio State was 6-7 the year before Urban got there. He went 12-0. They were on suspension. They couldn't go to a bowl game. That's why they went 12-0.
Get this. Oklahoma in 1998 went 5-6. They hired Bob Stoops. He had 1 year of, I think it was 8-3, maybe 7-4, something like that. They won the national championship in year two. I mean, it's one or the other. Like, you either aren't, I don't know. Do you think there's any reason to say, well, is there any excuse you can make or reason, as Philip Fulmer would say, why maybe this doesn't apply in the SEC? You know who's going to be
He was 7-5 in his first year. It's
7-5.
It doesn't matter, but okay. Stoops was 7-5.
So that's including a bowl game, because obviously they only played 11 back then.
Yeah.
So 7-5, first year, Natty.
Offensive coordinator Mike Leach. They lost their bowl game to Ole Miss that year.
National championship in year two. So they went 5-6, which isn't that much different than 4-8, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then, one bridge year and boom, big time. You know who else is going to be chanting and crowing about this soon if they continue to run the SEC East?
Georgia. Well, he's played for one. We did this with coaches who have gotten to a national championship game and lost, and it's still the formula. At least for the most part, right, Davey?
Yeah.
I mean, we did Chip Kelly. He won 9 in year one, 10 in year two.
Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, his first and second year went 8-5, but then the third year went 12-1 and went to the national championship.
Okay.
I mean, that's Notre Dame. Who do people compare Tennessee with who've said they've lost it? Notre Dame and Nebraska, right? Mack Brown, Texas, won 9 games his first 3 years, and then, then double digits, and then eventually won a national championship.
If you want to make a comparison, I guess, from a program being really down and then getting a really good coach, I'm looking at Washington with Chris Peterson. Chris Peterson's first year at Washington, he went 8-6, then 7-6, and then 12-2.
I think maybe that I'm wanting to go with the year two thing. I really am. I think every situation is a little bit different, and I think maybe you have to weigh. I'm not saying you won't know whether or not he's a good coach. I don't know that the record of – I don't know that the number 9 necessarily has to be there.
I think you can tell in year two, but it's not black and white with 8, 9, 7,
right,
whatever.
And the reason I say that is I don't know each of these schools' individual situations, right? I don't know – are each of these coaches – I don't know what Oklahoma's roster or organizational dysfunction looked like in 1998 when Bob Stoops got there. I have no idea. I know Urban was really set up at both Ohio State and Florida. I know Nick Saban was pretty set up at Alabama because even though Shula was an idiot, he actually recruited pretty well. Like Auburn's always going to have talent. Oregon was pretty damn good even before Chip Kelly got there, and then he just kind of took them to a new level with an idea change, right? Their philosophy changed a little bit.
But don't you think Tennessee's on par with Washington?
That's why I specifically said Washington. Who was at Notre Dame right before Brian Kelly?
Was it Weiss or was there somebody in between?
It's been a while.
Wasn't it Davey to Willingham to Weiss?
Willingham was like 04. Weiss would have been like 7-8. Or no, Weiss was 5. They fired Willingham after 4.
Charlie Weiss in 2009 went 6-6. And then they hired Brian Kelly the year after.
Brian Kelly's been there that long? He's been at Notre Dame since 2009?
That makes sense because Butch Jones took over at Cincinnati in 2000.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Gosh, I'm getting old.
Man, name a good coach, like a really good coach, and usually at most of their stops in year two, you see just a huge jump. Now, however you want to categorize that.
Well, I guess news here is a big jump at Tennessee doesn't even necessarily mean 9 wins in year. Going from 4-8 in 2 years would be at least a pretty significant jump, depending obviously on who you beat and what the schedule looks like.
I mean, I'm looking at like Bobby Bowden, first year at Florida State. This is before they were even on the map. They were an independent, weren't in the ACC or anything. His first year, 5-6. Second year, 10-2. I mean, usually, you just see teams take that big step in year two.
Pete Carroll, his first year at USC, they were 6-6. Second year, 11-2.
Steve Spurrier at Duke went 5-6, 7-3-1, 8-4, and tied for the league title.
See, that's a little.
I'm trying to pick the worst example on the board.
I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, I also just think, let me step back from the SEC a little bit, right? Nick Saban got here in 2007. Tennessee was starting to kind of fall apart. Georgia was not very good. Obviously, you had Urban at Florida. That ended up being your SEC title matchup a couple of times. I remember 2007, it seems like it was a little easier for a guy like Nick Saban. Well, first of all, Urban gets here. There's no Saban. So it's a little easier for a guy like Urban to come in and wreck shop in the SEC, right? At least a little bit. Like Tennessee was kind of trailing down. Georgia was there with Mark Richt and kind of okay. But we've spent all week kind of talking about how Georgia couldn't get over the hump with Mark Richt. It was an attitude thing. I'm wondering if maybe we've waited too long. Even if Jeremy Pruitt's great, is it possible we've just waited too long to make the move? Or are we making it at a right time, whereas Nick Saban maybe cycles out, that you've got a coach now who can be right there in the pool with the Malzahn and the Jimbo and maybe the Dan Mullen? I don't really know. This is a much, much different league than it was 5, 10, 15 years ago. Like when Urban got here, it was a little easier for him to climb as quick as he did than it is for Tennessee right now.
I mean, I hope Jeremy Pruitt's as good a coach as Gus Malzahn.
Well,
faces all those same challenges. Like Gus Malzahn at Auburn plays Alabama every year, plays a really tough schedule, and you cannot tell me Auburn has some big advantage over Tennessee in terms of recruiting or whatever. So I don't think it's unfair to expect to see a big jump in year two for Jeremy Pruitt. Now it might not be, again, it's not black and white with wins and losses necessarily, but I think you'll see it. I mean, if he's a really good coach, you'll see it. He'd probably tell you that. You think? I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's gonna be.
Well, I'm just trying to think.
Throwing a fit if they're 6-6 in year two.
It's a really good point by George Vaughn. I think it's worth talking about. Like when we're talking about all these coaches that were hired, were most of them not hired to get the team over the hump?
No.
What? What are you talking about? Really?
Ohio State was under 500 when Urban Meyer got hired. What do you
mean? Right, but they were 1 year removed from Tressel, and he wanted that job. Like that, maybe that one's a little bit different. Like, I don't.
Washington
one
wasn't
year
what,
one who? Year removed from like 13-1 and having a bad year because you hire an interim slash head coach who's an idiot. Like, that's not bottoming out. Tennessee might have bottomed out at 4-8.
I mean, I think you can make that argument just with the four national champ winning coaches.
That they were, like, Dabo, I guess, is a little bit weird. Dabo's a little bit different.
Like, I mean,
he was the interim and kind of won it over. He kind of Matt Luke'd Clemson and kind of proved to be good. But, like, Bama whiffed on Rodriguez, who at the time was, like, the guy, because they were trying to get the best coach available. Because they were like, we've got the talent, we just need the coach. And they went and got the guy. Like, I don't... Like, Florida, you knew that Ron Zook was recruiting great talent. He was just an idiot. Okay, let's go get the coach who can do it. Oregon, you had talent. You kind of birthed Chip Kelly. Like, that's a little bit different, too. I'm not even really sure about Stoops. Like, maybe that's one. It's just, I don't know. They're all pretty damn different. Like,
how about TCU?
Auburn won a national championship, went 4-8, hired Gus Malzahn. Like, maybe that's bottoming out, but can you bottom out in... I don't know. I'm just asking
a question.
On that
note, that would have been a great argument for Tennessee had they gotten rid of Butch just 1 year earlier. After we knew he wasn't going to get it done when he went 8-4 with the losses to South Carolina and Vandy late, I think with that talent that you had on the roster at that point, if you cut ties there, bring in somebody, granted, I mean, this is all hindsight, but...
Well, I mean, you wouldn't say Gary Patterson was hired at TCU to get them over the hump. I mean, they were nothing. He went 6-6 year one and then 10-2 in year two.
But yeah, Hackett wasn't doing a great job at USC when they brought in Pete Carroll.
If Jeremy Pruitt's a really good coach, you'll know in year two. I mean, I think this
I'm not saying,
this proves
I'm not
that
saying
out.
You won't. I'm just not wanting to put some, like, here's the number. I think you'll just know. Right? Like, these coaches you're mentioning, also with the exception of Malzahn, haven't had to play Bama every year.
Well, I'll go hot take. If Jeremy Pruitt does not have at least 8 wins in year two, he will never be the guy here at Tennessee. I'll go on record.
Well, 8's a little different. I mean, I know I just said numbers aren't that important, but 8 is a little different than 9 when you think about the conference and the context that you're talking about, Houston. I mean, 8 to 9 sometimes on Tennessee's schedule is like here to the moon because of how, like, means you're beating, winning 8, you get a long way to 8 by beating your really bad non-conference games and the SEC teams that have perennially been in the bottom half. You're almost there.
Does the specific schedule matter?
I think since these coaches that we've at least looked at have been at their schools long enough at a time where it really okay. Nick Saban's the only one in the SEC now where you look at it. I guess you could throw that in as a variable for how different the SEC is now versus
right. The
times these coaches were playing.
That was my big takeaway. And we're like, okay, we're talking about this year. No one really knows. Everyone's kind of hovering around 6-6. But then you look to next year, you see maybe it opens up, even though Mississippi State's probably going to be picked second or third in the West.
But they're losing a lot.
I know, they are. They are. I'm just saying everyone sees Mississippi State, and because it doesn't say Auburn or Alabama 2, like, you say, oh, that's a winnable game. We don't really know. Like, Joe Moorhead might come in and flip that thing very quickly. Like, again, that's a better situation than Jeremy Pruitt is inheriting.
Yeah,
I hear what everybody's saying, but then the next year you go at Oklahoma. And if we're sitting here talking about how great Lincoln Riley is, that means in year three, Jeremy Pruitt's going to have to play Saban, Mullen, Lincoln Riley.
Kirby.
I mean, like, you're playing the same coaches that we're trying to compare. Like, unless he's the greatest coach of all time, it's not like you're going to win a national championship and everybody's going to be happy. I don't think. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like,
but
it's a different league now.
But you're always going to be weighed against your peers.
I agree.
Like, if he can never beat those guys, then it doesn't matter. I mean, you're not going to be good if you can't.
I understand that. What I'm saying is this makes it tougher. Like, the East was wide open when Butch Jones was here. We all knew that. We all knew that Georgia was crap, that Florida was crap, that South Carolina was not as good. They were dipping down at Spurrier late. Like, we knew that. Right now, I'm not so sure we know anything about the East that would make a fair number year a judgment of Pruitt, like, accurate right now. Now, I get it.
How would you answer this question?
I don't know. but I'm just saying, like, it's tough. Like, this is a tough league right now, and I guess what I'm wondering is, in 3 years, it's possible. We'll know in 3 years. I just don't know that I'm going to say he has to be in Atlanta by year three. If he's in the hunt by year two, and we're seeing the progress, I'm going to think that maybe the guy's got something figured out. I don't know what, like, the magic number is. It's one of those things. It's like what he said at the podium. I'm going to give you a team to be proud of. I'm going to give you a team that when you watch, you're like, yeah, that's my team. We talked for 5 years about Tennessee. A lot of talent, no identity. If this team has an identity, if they're a pain in the neck, if they're winning games, if they're smart, if it makes sense, and the only thing that's missing is, you know, maybe one team has a great receiver in our corner. I don't know. It's case by case. If it's team-wide dysfunction like we've seen, yes. Roll them. I don't care what the number is. I just don't know what the number is to necessarily say he's the guy. But I agree with you that regardless, if you're Tennessee, you need to be hiring coaches who are better than everyone else in the league, right? But it's also funny to me because I look at Florida. They fired Muschamp, right? He went to South Carolina and just beat their ass last year. So it's weird. Like, it's a timing thing. Like, coaches kind of hit their stride at different times.
I mean,
you
did
just
they
want,
blow
you
it?
Just want to get it right.
I mean, Muschamp fits the criteria.
I know.
Did they blow it?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's why Florida's weird. That's why we talked about Dan Mullen this week. I'm like, Florida's weird. Florida's different.
You gotta have offense. That's all it amounts to.
Muschamp could win a natty at South Carolina, and he would fit the criteria.
I know.
It'd be crazy.
That's what I'm saying, because he won, well, counted the bowl game, but yeah, he won 9 last year. I almost brought that up when we were talking about
it,
because I was like, God.
He'd fit it at Florida and South Carolina.
Right, because he won, what, 12 in year
11,
two?
Yeah, I think 11.
So it's just weird. Like, think about that. Like, what?
If we're considering Will Muschamp was in the hunt by finishing second last year, then you have to answer this year two, and I disagree with 60% of you guys that say year three. Jeremy Pruitt's not going to be a great coach if he's worse than Will Muschamp.
Do you take into account, though, like, and I'm just asking, does Tennessee's complete and total dysfunction, president, chancellor, athletic director, governor, board of trustees, does all of that being where it is as Jeremy Pruitt walks in here, is it fair to say perhaps, this specific job at this specific time is unique enough to suggest that 2 years maybe is not the number? And I ask that because when Konzo Martin left and everyone wrote their articles, racist Knoxville, they wouldn't let him use the plane, you know, blah, 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 blah. Then we idiot Dave Hart, Donnie Tindall, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy under investigation by the NCAA. Like, and then we hire Rick Barnes, thinking, oh man, 5-star recruits, they're going to come piling in here. We're going to have this thing turn around in year two, year one. They weren't very good the first or second year. And then you saw the jump last year, and now you've got a team. This is year four, I believe, for Barnes, right? And it's like, wow, this team could do some stuff. So I know basketball is different, but basketball should actually be faster. I'm just saying Tennessee in both men's basketball and obviously football and, frankly, women's basketball, like, a lot has gone on. A lot has gone on for a very long time that I just wonder if maybe we, because we're in the bubble and we're like, oh, it's not as bad as everybody thinks, but they don't know that. They don't know that. So I'm wondering if as you recruit nationally, as you try to build this thing, if maybe, just maybe, it's a little bit harder here right now specifically than it would be somewhere else. Or, as we've said before, Tennessee has built-in advantages. Maybe it's never – like, maybe as soon as you get all that other stuff fixed, no, it's easy again. I don't know. I don't know what the I don't know what the whiplash is for what Tennessee's just been through. Does that make sense? I've seen the collision. I have no idea what happens next. Like, we're still on the bullwhip of this thing. And so I'm wondering, is this a quick, like, are we chopping the dysfunction off and it's done? Or is this a slow kill? Right? Is this a forest fire, or do I have an axe and, like, a year to get this done? I don't know that yet. I need more evidence to say, yeah, Tennessee, actually, the culture looks good. The leadership looks good. Everything is good. It's a lot easier than that. Or is the image, the narrative, if you will, so busted that it does take Tennessee a little bit more time to get over the hump? I think they're making, you know, the right moves. I think they're going in the right direction. I just, man, I'd hate to run a good coach because maybe we don't understand the situation as well as a fan base, as media, as you know, consumers of the product.
I think there's a difference in saying we'll know by the end of year two than saying you fire somebody. I mean, I don't think you don't make a judgment.
Shouldn't you fire somebody the minute you know they're not the guy?
Not at Tennessee.
Well, no, historically we don't.
The original question was, in order to be considered successful, I think what you're saying is, if you get to the end of year two and you're not sure, then you just give them your three and you move on. I mean, that's what if you look at the Butch Jones tenure, I mean, that's what happened. You get to the end of year two and you're like, hasn't really turned this around quick, but things are going the right direction. We need to give him year three. Go through year three, and then that's when the big debate came about.
I just know that everybody loves to be first. You love to be the first guy to say this guy has it or this guy doesn't. And I'm trying to say here, the only thing I'm trying to say, because we're making up these numbers as we go, these years, these win totals, like, we see the evidence, but we're kind of just making it up. I just want to be fair, right? I feel like we were fair to Butch Jones. Some people, like, latched on to it a little too long, right? They wanted it to be good, so they just hoped it and said it. I think we were fair. I just hope that we don't, and Tennessee has a history of this, we drive a little bit off the road on one side, and then we swerve into oncoming traffic to overcorrect it. So I don't want the people who are like, oh, I got duped by Butch Jones and I gave him 5 years and I was in the Vol for Life group and I'm a big fan, and then all of a sudden game five of Jeremy Pruitt, we're ready to run the guy out of town because he just lost to Alabama by 30. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want us to swing so far in the other direction where we become idiots. That's all I'm saying. I want to be fair moving forward.
I mean, I think you would say, you know, Butch Jones was in the hunt for the SEC East title his third year, and I don't think it's unfair to say I hope Jeremy Pruitt's a better coach than Butch Jones. Now, I do understand that the SEC East was different then than it is now, but still, I mean, Philip Fulmer said this: to be a great coach at Tennessee, you have to beat Florida. So all we're really asking Jeremy Pruitt to do is to, you know, either beat or be even with Dan Mullen over the next 2 to 3 years. And if he can't do that, he's not going to be successful here anyway. So, I mean, I think we're both just kind of talking around the exact same fine line. It's not, you know, and every coach we've pulled up, well, not most of the coaches we pulled up are elite coaches. We're saying normally if you get an elite coach, for the most part, you can tell by year two that they have something special. And I would say that everything we've seen so far from Jeremy Pruitt, there's a chance that he's like that. Now, does the context change that argument a little bit as we go? Sure, it might. I think us, other shows at this station, are smart enough football-wise to be able to tell and be able to factor those types of things in. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. You're listening to Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio. It's today's Sweet Peas Barbecue poll question. In order to be considered successful, how soon would you expect Jeremy Pruitt to be in the hunt for an SEC East title and a trip to Atlanta? Everybody's debating year two and year three answering this question. It does say in the hunt. It doesn't say winning the SEC championship. We're just grabbing different data points for different coaches. And I've got a current coach that if you want to make the year three argument, you can. I think it'd be safe to say that Penn State was in a pretty bad situation before James Franklin got there. I don't know how you want to compare that. It doesn't really matter. Penn State 7-6 his first year.
I actually like that comparison.
7-6 year two, although they were two games better in conference that year. And then it was year three where they won 11 games. So if you want to look for another data point of a current coach, backed it up again with 11 wins, and these are including bowl wins, but 11 wins again last season, I think people, to me, Penn State was kind of a program, even before the Paterno scandal, that had become kind of really stagnant.
Stale, yeah.
Yeah, a lot like Tennessee has become. So there's maybe it does take that extra third year
situation. That's why I was kind of wondering if two is fair. And I think obviously it's different. Theirs was a repugnant scandal that is, frankly, somewhat demonic. But this is, at least when you talk about the dysfunction, perhaps comparable to what Tennessee may be having to overcome. Because essentially they had to replace everything, right? I know they replaced everybody in the athletic department, but maybe even presidents and chancellors. I'm not sure. But that's what Tennessee's going to have to do, and that's why I wonder if you look at James Franklin, first years at Penn State, everyone's like, maybe he was a flash in the pan at Vandy. And this is – thank you for finding that example. I think maybe that one is a fair – if it takes three, I'm not going to be ready to slam the door on Pruitt on year two. And again, I'm the only reason I'm saying that is because I know there will be some. As long as he doesn't look like a complete buffoon on his way to year two, right? As long as he doesn't do some of the things that just make you punch your own face.
Jim Harbaugh did not have a winning season at Stanford until year three.
And I don't remember what Stanford was like before he got there, frankly.
He took over in 2007. They went 4-8. Then followed by 5-7, then year three, 8-5. Then year four, before he left to go to the 49ers, they went 12-1. His first 2 years at Michigan, they started 10-3, but everybody just kind of considers that a failure because he hasn't been able to get above third in the division, and they're paying him money to win it.
Yeah, you can't make blanket statements. This isn't a video game. Every situation is different. And that's where... we looked at the Butch Jones situation here and had to apply, the human eye test. And
James Franklin won 9 games in year two at Vanderbilt, FYI. In case you were wondering what maybe bought him that extra year and cleaning up. But see, that's the weird thing with Pruitt.
And
that's one of the things I'm trying to be fair is, like, you had some evidence with Franklin. It's like, man, he won 9 at Vanderbilt. The guy must be at least halfway legit. There's no prior evidence with Pruitt except that the guy can hold up a bunch of championship rings as a DC.
That's why, as a sports talk host, you have to be kind of an analyst and look at this thing and say, and then ultimately take in all the data and make your own judgment call, because a lot of us here made the judgment call on Butch Jones a whole lot earlier than a lot of other people in the media, and everyone here made the right call well before, Paul Feinbaum or anybody at State Run or any of those types of big outlets. You have to look at the whole thing. You just do.
Battle Captain tweets in about Chris Peterson. Year three,
that.
and I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find. Maybe what the situation is. I think I voted two.
He did have nine. I think, 9 wins his second year at Boise.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. It's weird because guys who have...
that's where schedule matters. If
Hell,
well,
if,
that
if,
and but there's just they have evidence. They have at least something.
What's Jake Bentley? What's his year? Is he now? Does he's,
junior?
He's a junior. Yeah.
So he okay. Let's
he came
say
early.
Let's say South Carolina is better, a lot better than people think this year. Maybe they either go to Atlanta or it's really close with Georgia. So next year, that game, next year, instead of Jeremy Pruitt having to play Alabama, West opponents, Georgia, and then a soft East schedule, it's like, oh, crap, South Carolina's seventh in the country when we play them, and Georgia's five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to change your one-win level expectation kind of stuff. And I asked about Bentley because if he has a good year and then it's like, yeah, I just really love playing in college, I'm going to come back for one more year. All of that, every person, player, coach, affects all of this stuff.
You want some data?
Give me some data. Is it going to help her?
Name this coach. First up, 8-6, 8-5, 11-2. Next stop, 4-8, 10-3, 9-3. I'm just going to give you the first 3 years at each stop. Next stop, 5-7, 7-6, 9-4.
Are they currently still coaching?
I've refused to answer this question.
Is it Lou Holtz?
It's not Lou Holtz.
Can you do the records one more time?
No. Yeah, I can. First stop, 8-6, 8-5, 11-2. Second stop, 4-8, 10-3, 9-3. Third stop, 5-7, 7-6, 9-4.
Butch Jones.
Well, according to y'all's little math schedule here, he's a legend everywhere he's been.
We said year two. You said year three. What are you talking about?
He took a huge jump in year two everywhere. He went from 4-8 to 10-3 at Cincinnati. 5-7 to 7-6 is different, but again, that's the Tennessee one. That's what I'm saying. In a bad East. I'm just saying, like, I can find data for bad coaches too. That's the only thing I'm saying is I don't want to come up with this crackpot formula and not take everything into account.
But if you look at that the other way, you can make that argument either way on Butch Jones. You can say, see, he didn't take a big enough jump at Tennessee in year two. You can even say, hey,
4-8 to 10-3 first of all, that's crazy. I didn't even realize that.
What were they the year before they were 4-8?
Because
weren't they better?
Was 2000?
Like Butch Jones made them worse. You're still being victimized by Butch Jones and his crappy coaching.
No, I'm making a
He lowered his own bar.
I'm making a funny point.
I know.
I'm just
I
making
know.
A funny point.
You know I'm joking back
at you. The guy won
you.
Six more. He upgraded by six games in his second year at Cincinnati. He, that's insane.
He probably sabotaged his first year.
Yes,
just
because but
he
probably but you got to look at he took he, over for Brian.
No,
you
know. Yeah, 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 we know. We know. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe he
threw a wrench in that Joker on purpose.
He did lower the bar. Look how great I am.
He was probably mad they won 10 in year 2. He's like, dadgummit, the plan was to win 8 this year, so
no
I can win 10 the next year.
No one's ever won 6 more games the next year. No one has ever done that.
That's probably what he said.
This is a sports town.
I thought you were actually trying to pull for like a good coach when you were giving that statistic, and I was like looking for somewhere. It's like,
well, that's
just going completely.
The really sad thing is Butch Jones should have won 10 in year 3.
I know.
And then he would have been your boy in this
argument.
He could
have won 7 or he could have won like 8 or 9 in year 2. My point was, and it was a joke, but when I said those numbers, you immediately thought, oh, this guy's probably pretty good.
I did.
And you pieced together the third year.
What the hell?
That's what you did. No one hears 4-8 to 10-3 and says, I don't know.
I was trying to keep an open mind and figure out who it was.
Because you knew
Davey's
I was.
Because
I'm cackling as I'm reading this. You read the room. If I just dropped data, if I put them out of order and drop data, there's no way you picked them.
My initial thought was that you were trying to find a good coach that had struggled early. To back up your argument.
Oh, that's
what I thought.
But then when you and then even when you named three different schools, I thought, who's a good coach who's jumped that much? And I could not come up with one. And then it just kind of hit me.
Okay. Who's this coach? His first real stop. 6-5, 6-6, 7-5, 6-6, 9-2.
I don't know. Kirk Ferentz.
It's Nick Saban. It's Michigan State. 6-5, 6-6, 7-5, 6-6, 9-2. He breaks through in year five, goes to LSU. 8-4, 10-3, 8-5, 13-1, 9-3. Dolphins back to Alabama. Somehow on Alabama's Wikipedia schedule.
They got in trouble.
That's so right. Okay. That's
eliminated
right.
Eliminated wins. That, yeah. That always gets me too.
That's right. Okay. And then obviously he hasn't won single digits since being at Alabama in year one. I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying, now obviously he left Michigan State. They knew. They did not want him to leave, and LSU was like, come to us. So that's different. I don't know. It's all different, right? It's all weird. I like your Penn State comparison though. Ain't no
telephone bills. Final segment of the week. It is Three and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville, and online we're powered by 245 Tech and all their services. They can make your website faster. They can redo your content management system. They can secure it with their SWAT technology. So hit them up. 245tech.com is the website. The official website provider of Fox Sports Knoxville. I want to reach some of the reaction. Midnight Rider, I'm the eternal orange glow, Kool-Aid, orange-blooded, optimist, orange-breathing fan. You said the hunt. I say year two. Go Big Orange.
Okay. Are those the same thing?
What?
I'm not asking when you think he will be. Does that... Like saying I'm an optimist, I'm a huge fan, that's great. But if he, I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know if those are congruent question and answer. It doesn't matter.
Volatile Vol says, I would say year one, you try to do the best you can with what Butch left you. Then year two, with an all-star recruiting class, you could expect 8-9 wins.
Yeah,
I think that'd be hard to say if the schedule was as hard in year two as it is year one.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
You look at the schedule, and it's BYU at home instead of neutral West Virginia. It's Mississippi State instead of Auburn on the road. You know, it's
It's Florida at home, right?
Road.
No, yeah, road, Florida, home, Georgia. That's kind of tough. Those are tough years when you have to, like, you know, when Georgia's good and Florida's not as good, you'd rather it be like this year. Only way next year's schedule would be better is if Georgia and Florida were this year's version. But that's not going to happen.
JT says, win 5 or 6 and hang around in all other games year one other than Bama and Georgia. So he's saying in year one, win 5 or 6, be in every game on your schedule except Bama and Georgia. Year two, win 6-8, possibly steal a trip to Atlanta. Year three, win 9-12, go to Atlanta or miss because head-to-head. Year four, win 11 or 12. Best be going to Atlanta.
Well, that's the thing, is if you continue to build and don't show the stupidity, right? If you build and get to those moments where you can announce your arrival,
sure.
Which we saw Butch Jones do in year four. He had moments to announce arrival. Texas A&M, frankly, right there, if you go for two after you score late, maybe you win that game outright, don't have to go to overtime. If you beat South Carolina, if you beat Vanderbilt, like, things are very, very different that year if you announce your arrival. And hell, who knows? Maybe at that point things don't just completely fall apart. Maybe they do no matter what, and we're all left scratching our heads. I don't know. We have peeked ahead at the 2019 schedule. Everyone's right. It opens up. It's nice. It's a good schedule. It's a you know, if you guys are putting the number on it that it needs to be year two, like 9 wins, frankly, like 8 regular season wins looks pretty damn doable, and 9 not that far behind.
Well, and here's the thing. Tennessee, I think Butch Jones kind of scarred us with this thing about how, like, each year you need to be moving up because he moved up so gradually. And a lot of these other places that we've looked at where the coach won 9 games his second year, they didn't necessarily win 9 or 10 every year after.
Yeah, there can be dips.
Like, if Jeremy Pruitt has an easier schedule in 2019 and wins 10 games, but then he gets a little tougher and wins 9 in 2019, then he wins 11 in 20. Like, people will be fine with that, too.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know, like,
you're right.
You don't.
It's like looking at Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State. They're going to have a good year. Davey mentioned this during the break. I just went and checked. They're going to lose, like, 9 defensive starters off this team.
They have 2 first-rounders on the line.
And 5 or 6 off the offense, including their quarterback. So you don't think they're going to take a big jump back in year two? It's just going to happen. And that's when Pruitt catches them. But
In our head, we think you just get better and better and better. If you turn it around faster, then, you know, you just want to be in the in the hunt, as we've said in this question, each and every year. That way, when somebody else blows it, you're ready to pick up the pieces and win the title.
And don't go 4-8 when you have a dip.
Talk Sports is next. Keep it right here. More local, more live. It's Fan Run Radio.